Yeah, I thought they played great. The best way, you know, we had many, many conversations about a team like Army, a team like Air Force, that you have to be very cautious about how fast you go, because if it's fast and you punt the ball, that's, you can't do that to your defense. So you saw them take it 18 plays, 99 yards. He said our offense, the best defense against that is a good offense that takes care of the ball. The best defense against the Wishbone is an offense that, first of all, scores. You get a team like Army or Wishbone team behind, that's not what they're made for. There was a couple critical stops when we were as 14-0 and 14-7, and then we made a couple stops.
I thought both teams played really good red zone defense today. We had the right calls on at the right time, pushed them back out of the opportunities to score touchdowns. They held the line as well. I thought they responded really well. For the most part, with the exception of a few drives, I thought we shut them down well. I mean, I thought we won all three phases. And they play a brand of football that I really like. They make it hard. They make you go beat you. Our team was able to. Our team was able to make the plays offensively, defensively. Special teams was a huge factor in today's ball game.
We didn't play well, obviously, at the quarterback position. We can't give the ball to the other team. That's a growing experience for our guys. There were some plays there to be made. We just didn't make them. We'll grow from this. I know we will. And we'll go back to the drawing board, get it back to where it needs to be. But I don't care what level of football you play. You can't turn the ball over as many times as we did today and think you're going to be successful. There was still a time in that game. You still had a chance to rally back, and then we turned it over again. We got to grow from this, and we will. I hate it. I hate it for the guys because I think there's some individual effort and some unit efforts that are guys are doing some good things. But we got to play as a football team, a whole team.
In the second quarter there, experiencing some headache symptoms. Coach thought it was best for me to come back inside and get it checked out. We got him under control and was able to go back out in the second half. Turning the ball over is unacceptable in a sleep. Obviously, it does not lead you to be in the best position to win games.
We'll probably be saying the same thing, you know, just because everybody has really good players. They have a whole collection of them on their defense. It's a pretty strong group. There's no doubt about it between the three corners and the safety. I mean, it's hard to think there's any team that has any more than they have. They have some talented guys. But still not quite where we want it. You know, we did a good job, I think, when you look at it. You have to also look at how many yards they were able to gain on the ground. You know, what your output was in comparison to that is another way to look at it. We're just not satisfied yet. But we're going to continue to work at it. We got to continue to get better.
All I know is I feel good this week. Feel healthy coming out of this one this past week and ready to go for this one. I'm sure they're looking at that game too some and, kind of figuring out what we did well, what we didn't do well. Had some opportunities to score and didn't come away with points. Mistakes in every game, got to find a way to overcome them, and we'll learn from the ones in the past.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Good Monday afternoon. Welcome into this edition of the Extravaganza here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. You heard a lot of things from that montage that I put together. And yes, you are hearing me, Jim Kuslin, not Bob France. He sounded a little bit like this today. And since radio's kind of our job, which means talking, you can't put him on the air when he sounds like this. So we're hoping those windpipes are a little bit better for Bob tomorrow. But it is I, the Bum, Jim Kuslin, now hanging out with you for the next couple of hours today, talking a lot of football, of course. It is a Monday, and we'll have some open phone lines here at hour number 1-866-240-1065. Then more football talk with a couple of fun guests a little in the second hour. Jeremy Reisman of PrideOfDetroit.com, Lions site over on SB Nation. He's going to join us at about 4:05, 4:10 or so. And then because it's me, and it's the day after the Browns lose yet another football game, we're going to bring in the one and only, you know him, you love him, from our sister station, 94.5 XKR, Grizzly, will join us at about 4:40. Boy, does he have some thoughts on the ground on that game from yesterday. He's got some thoughts on it for sure. He's going to come out swinging. Let's put it this way. He's coming out swinging, he told me, for this one. As the Browns lose yesterday. Lions, you heard from Jim Caldwell, by the way, and Matthew Stafford at the end of that montage. Wait, they didn't play, Jim. No, of course they didn't play. They're the Monday night game, which we'll have for you in all its glory tonight. 6:30 the coverage time, 8:30 or so the kickoff time. Giants hosting those Detroit Lions. So they're at the Meadowlands tonight, and all the action for you here on 106.5 The Ticket beginning at 6:30, 8:30 the kickoff time. for the Detroit Lions tonight. They are the Monday night game. Programming note, by the way, on that front, we will be airing the Buckeye Roundtable, which you usually hear every Monday, recapping Ohio State with all of them from 6 to 8. We're moving that front because of when we want to make way for the Lions game and all their coverage. So we're moving the Buckeye Roundtable to Wednesday night this week from 6 until 8. I sometimes have to, you know, because if the Lions are the Monday night game, well, I can't play both at the same time. I wish I could. But it doesn't really work, you know, that way. Yes, I have other stations here in the cluster that I put some games on, but, well, when both affiliations are right here on 106.5 The Ticket, kind of hard to play them both at the same time. So Buckeye Roundtable is going to be Wednesday night from 6 to 8 to recap their win over Army, and looking forward to UNLV for the Buckeyes while we get you the Lions coverage as they get ready for the Giants tonight, about 6:30, the coverage time for that one. There is a coaches show, though, a little bit later. Speaking of programming, Falcons Nest coaches show. They're off to a not-so-good start, are the Bowling Green Falcons, 0-3, as they get crushed by Northwestern. Toledo Rockets got a big, crazy win. Tons of points, tons of touchdowns. Six of them, I believe, from Logan Woodside, as the Rockets are now 3-0, as they're off to the U on Saturday. So that's going to be fun. That's something we can obviously talk about. But, hey, either way, whether it's I, Jim Cushion, or Bob France here in the big chair, it is Monday during the football season, and that can only mean essentially one thing.
Grab your helmet. You're going in. It's time to play Monday Afternoon Quarterback on 106.5 The Ticket.
Yes, quarterback, and appropriately with the old Monday Night Football music, which the Lions will be playing on, as mentioned, tonight, 8:30 the kick, 6:30 coverage time right here on 106.5 Ticket. This entire hour, I want to hear from you. It's Monday Afternoon Quarterback time at 866-240-1065 right here on 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Cushel, by the way, again, in for Bob France. I got Chris Mitchell. He's pushing some buttons, answers some votes for me. By the way, also got some fun prizes a little bit later today. I got some Sammy Hagar tickets at the zoo. I got a chance to get qualified for our European flyaway trip. First day of qualification for that. So just keep yours open. The qualification will be next hour, about 4:20, 4:25 or so. So keep your ears peeled for when I give you that cue to call. And then sometime maybe later this hour, or really whenever the heck I feel like it, be ready if you feel like going to see Sammy Hagar at the Toledo Zoo. That's next Wednesday, by the way. He's going to be here. We're going to be giving away tickets for that all week long. But you heard Mr. Big Voice just there for our Monday Afternoon Quarterback. 866-240-1065. Numbers to join us, because we have open phones for the entirety of this first hour. And I'd like to start with some NFL things. And yes, we're going to circle back to it, as I mentioned, when we bring Grizzly from 94.5 XKR on a little bit later, the figuratively and literally biggest Browns fan I know. That's why I always get, whenever I have a chance like this and there's something Browns related, i.e. losing yesterday, definitely qualifies, I like to bring him on and give his 2 cents. And, well, he doesn't just give you 2 cents, he gives you about 10 cents. So they fall in Baltimore 24-10. 5 turnovers. I'm sorry to say, DeShone Kizer looked awful and was out for the middle half of this game, essentially, for migraines. My first thought, and I'm sure a lot of you were thinking, oh, great, which Raven hit him really hard that he's got a migraine, i.e. he's now got a concussion. Well, it's not a concussion. He just had a bad migraine, apparently, going. That's why he came back into the game a little bit later. And I can attest, it probably is not pleasant. Every once in a while, I get migraines personally, and when I do, they're completely debilitating. So I can't imagine trying to play NFL quarterback in a live game. That counts, not preseason, especially not preseason with one of those. But migraine or no migraine, not a good day for DeShone Kizer. 15-31, buck 82, 3 interceptions, and the migraine. He was outdone, essentially, by Kevin Hogan, the second-year quarterback out of Stanford, who actually threw a touchdown pass, Brown's only touchdown in this game. And you know what my thoughts are? I am totally fine with this. Totally fine with it. What the hell are you talking about, Jim? How can you totally be fine? Toledo's own DeShone Kizer got beat up. Call it what it is. He got beat up in this game yesterday. Ravens are the Ravens. Yes. But how many times have you guys heard me on this program, when talking about quarterbacks in the NFL and young quarterbacks, meaning we're usually talking about the Browns, We're certainly not talking about the Lions. Their quarterback situation is pretty steady, I'd say. What have I been saying to you guys? Yes, it's painful. I always reference things like Peyton Manning was 3-13 in his rookie year. But I am of the belief that you throw the kids out there. See if they can do it. Why wait till middle of the season or late in the season when half your line is usually going to be injured or something? You want to get these, you want to see these guys with everybody else around them in theory. Now, the Browns don't have everybody else around them. You know, number one overall pick, Myles Garrett, still hasn't taken a snap in regular season play. We know why. You're going to be without Corey Coleman, last year's number one pick, now for a couple of weeks. They haven't officially announced exactly how long it is, but he broke the same hand he broke last year. Wonderful. So he's already shaping up in Flop City. But I am fine with, Jim, how can you be fine? He threw three interceptions and had a bad migraine, looked terrible in Baltimore. Because he's a rookie quarterback in the NFL. Rookie quarterbacks early in their rookie year on the road are just going to have games like this. That's how it works, people. This is part of the reason I'm in favor of keeping a DeShone Kizer out there. You want him to take his lumps. As I always reference, Peyton Manning took his 3-13 in his rookie year. We know how that story ended. I'm not here to suggest that DeShone Kizer is going to be Peyton Manning, but I am, of course, suggesting and have been for quite some time that this notion of, we'll wait till mid or later in the season, or we're going to go in the third round and take Colt McCoy or Charlie Fry or one of the other names on the back of that jersey. Well, clearly that stuff has not worked. You know, we went over last week. This is a Browns team that has only one opening day win since they came back to the league in 1999. And spoiler alert, and you can go ahead and please go ahead, Browns fans, start blaming me for this one. That one opening game win, I was actually at that game. And they beat Baltimore that day with Jeff Garcia at quarterback. That's the only time from 1999 through right now that they ever started 1-0. They've always been at 0-1 and usually worse every other season. And this one is no different. But spinning back to Kizer. He got a migraine. He was pretty bad. But he's got to take his lumps. I'd rather see those lumps now in a week two when in theory you're getting 100% Baltimore Ravens or 100% any NFL team as opposed to early December when, let's face it, every NFL team is only about 70% at that point because X, Y, and Z are going to be hurt by then. Don't know who X, Y, and Z is. They vary from team to team. But if you're really a Browns fan who's really irritated about this, then don't blame Kizer. There's other things going on. You know, they didn't do well in the run game. Not that they had many chances to. The turnovers were obviously an absolute killer. Four of them via the interception, three of those from Kizer. Killed some drives. But at times there were some wondering yesterday about play calling. And penalties, to me, is a huge one. I'm trying to find the number. All I know is it was double digits again. Yeah, there it is. 11 of 65. That's on Coach Hugh Jackson. That's not on DeShone Kizer. That's on Hugh. They did force two turnovers as a defense. That's nice. But, folks, we knew for the Browns this is going to be a long, long process. And by long, I mean beyond at least this year. We all knew that. I've been trying to warn everybody from my personal prediction was 5-11 for this Browns season, and I would be smiling year to year if they pulled that off because that's a four-game improvement, which is a big-time improvement as far as the National Football League is concerned. Problem is it only gets them to 5-11 because they started at 1-15 from a year ago. It is what it is. So if you really want to be upset at somebody Browns-related today, and be upset with the coaching staff for still not having this team disciplined in any way, shape, or form. For having them have some questionable at times calling a plays here and there. But don't blame it on Kizer because he got a migraine and had three interceptions and say, oh, see, that's why you don't throw a quarterback. Because I know some of you out there are thinking it right now. And if you are, I want to hear from you. 866-240-1065. That, oh, he throws three interceptions out of a migraine. You know, he looked okay in week one, but this Baltimore, that's why you don't start these rookies and throw them into the fire. You have a veteran like that Osweiler or somebody. You excuse me, start at the beginning, and you ease him into it. Balderdash, I tells you, balderdash. I'm tired of that one, because for at least the Browns, that clearly hasn't worked at all, because that's the approach they've been taking with quarterback. I'm fine with what we saw or didn't see or regret seeing out of Kaiser from yesterday. The fact of the matter is, rookie quarterbacks in the NFL, they're going to take their lumps. I mean, am I missing something? I'm bringing Chris Mitchell. He's hanging out with me, pushing some buttons for me. Am I way off base here? Seriously.
Not at all.
A lot of right now in the NFL, they don't like to throw, especially not number one overall pick quarterbacks. They don't like to throw them in there right at the beginning. And I've, at least for the Browns, I flat out disagree with that. The time has come to do that, and they're doing it right now. It just means the side effect is you're going to have games like yesterday, especially on the road. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. And who knows when the migraine even came on. He might have thrown a couple of interceptions while he was going through a migraine. But I'm in agreement with you. I think you got to take a young kid like that who has a lot of upside. You got to throw him in the game, see what he's got, especially against a top defense like the Baltimore Ravens. See what he can do.
Right.
Because when you're playing, that's how you evaluate these young players.
Thank you. There's the right word. Somebody said it. Evaluate. This year, Browns fans, you know it's true, is still about evaluating guys. In the quarterback position specifically, it's about evaluating Kaiser so that when this team is top five, top seven pick again next year, because, yeah, folks, they will be, do they draft a quarterback then or do they not? Well, that's going to be based on what they see out of Kaiser, and they need to see more than two or three games at the end of a season.
Yeah, and I hope they don't draft another quarterback next year. I think Kaiser is going to be a pretty good quarterback for them. They really need to build up that defensive line. But going back to what you're saying about Kaiser, yes, you can go back, look at the film, and evaluate what he did against top-notch competition. And if you don't have him in there and you have Hogan in, and you know Hogan's not your future, what's the point then? That's the whole point.
And no quarterback currently on this Browns roster is the quote-unquote future, except for maybe DeShone Kaiser. Not Hogan. Not Kessler, who's buried on everything now, and unless there's injuries, which, of course, can happen, you won't see him again. And they got rid of Osweiler. So, I mean, I think the stat was... the stat was that this team, right now at the quarterback position, has exactly zero career NFL wins. Because Kessler went 0-8, Kaiser's now 0-2, and Hogan hasn't ever started a game, so he can't get credit for that W or that L. Kind of like, you know, he's kind of like that middle reliever in a baseball game where, you know, he's coming in for the starter, but he's not going to factor in the decision. Same kind of thing. So they have zero wins out of their quarterback position as a whole. So, I mean, what did you guys expect? Yeah, we're excited because he's a Toledo product, of course, and we want to see him do well. We sure as heck don't want to see him be just another name on that humorous Browns quarterback jersey. But I'm still glad that they're doing this right now and just playing him. Maybe he gets hurt later. I mean, that's the NFL. That's football, people. That's what happens. I mean, so you got to just have him take his lumps. Again, if you really want to be mad at somebody on yesterday's game, you know, then be mad at things like the play calling. You know, be mad at things like that. By the way, some updates. From Kaiser himself, we started this in the post game. He mentioned it because he was removed due to that migraine. At Kaiser, you know, according to Mary Kay Cabot over at the Cleveland Plain here, he does have the history of migraines. So, I mean, you're going to have that too. That's obviously something to keep an eye on. He did have some flare ups there at Notre Dame. Bigger news, this one just coming in. Corey Coleman out indefinitely. Surgery will be needed on that broken right hand, which incidentally is the exact same broken right hand that he broke a year ago, causing him to miss six games at the beginning of the season. I know you don't want to say, one doesn't like saying it because of injuries, but really, injuries might make this guy a total flop. I mean, so That's exactly what happens. He is now listed as out individually, or indefinitely, I should say. The only positive I could throw for the Cleveland Browns is that, did you catch during yesterday's game? Because they certainly made mention of it. We all know that Joe Thomas has been a rock for this team for all this time. He is now, after the conclusion of yesterday's game, 10,062 consecutive snaps. Not just game, not the games, but, you know, that's the other part. He's never missed a snap. So kudos to Joe Thomas, even if there are some who think some of his skills may be diminishing a little bit. 866-240-1065, numbers to join us. Adam in Oregon, he's got some thoughts on this. What's going on, Adam? How you doing? Welcome to the ticket.
Hey, Jim, it's good to talk to you again, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, I'm already calling about the Browns quarterback situation, so I think you already know how I'm doing on that front. You know, I agree with you. You hit some really good points. I especially agree with you on the Corey Coleman thing. You know, the best ability is what? Availability, right?
Thank you.
So, I mean, you know, that's part of the package. I mean, he could have all the talent in the world, but if you can't keep it on the field, then, you know, what are you going to do, you know? I just wanted your opinion. Why was Cody Kessler not dressed yesterday at all?
I think he was dressed, but, you know, the way the camp and everything evolved, he's the third stringer now. He's the guy who's only going in if everybody gets hurt now. He has lost,
right.
He's fallen that far in the depth chart, and for whatever reason, you know, they like Hogan better as the backup over Kessler. It seems like
I don't think it's a skill thing on that one, Jim. I think that's, I don't know if he's had some sort of attitude problem or something, because there's no way Kevin Hogan should be Cody Kessler out for any sort of job in anywhere, anytime, any place.
No, and I don't disagree with you. Remember, as I just said, this is a quarterbacking unit together that has all of zero career NFL wins at quarterback. I think something else that's going on, with, at least with Kessler, is through training camp and preseason and last year in his starts, I think we've seen all we need to see out of this guy. He is not part of the long-term future, but obviously since they got rid of Brock Osweiler after they named Kizer the starter, well, they need to keep somebody at the number three spot, so there's Cody Kessler.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just kind of crazy to me that we see these little flashes from him last year, and then he's tumbled so far. You know, it's got to be some other issue.
And what's funny about some of those flashes, too, because this kind of gets to my point, Adam, about put these quarterbacks out there, especially if you're the Browns, because you've certainly tried the other way for so long, and clearly that hasn't worked. Just throw these guys out there, because by the time Cody Kessler was mainly starting, people were already hurt. Part of the line was already destroyed.
Right,
you want
absolutely.
To see these guys with the on-paper depth chart number ones against the on-paper depth charts number one. Not in early December when every team is 70% because guys are hurt. So that's maybe another thing in terms of, you saw flashes of it, but there were already pieces missing on the Browns and their opponents by the time Kessler was even in there a year ago.
Right, absolutely. And it plays up to his competition because, you know, every year when you finish last in your division every year, you're going to get last place opponents in other divisions the next year. So, you know, I think they're kind of playing up to their competition. It's just disappointing. You know, it's just so frustrating, Jim.
You know, I'll let you go, man. I appreciate the call. I love hearing from you, Adam. You know, that's the thing. It is so frustrating. That's the ultimate problem with this. And this is why, you know, I watch him. I feel like when it comes to the Browns, I'm at the point of I'm watching it so you don't have to. Honestly, do I want to be watching them? Hell no, I don't want to be watching them. I got a baseball team that might be on their way to their second straight pennant, and then you're going to have the LeBron circus for 1 year. This is strictly me as a fan, of course. I would just love to be able to skip over the Browns altogether, but somebody has to put themselves through this. Somebody has to watch this stuff. And about the only thing I can tell you, Adam, and any other Browns fans, this just got posted. Miles Garrett's ankle is improving. He will most likely still sit out this Sunday, because remember when he first injured it, they said he probably missed the first 4 weeks. But he and the team have not formally ruled him out yet. So let's see how the next couple days go. That'd be so nice to get Miles Garrett back sooner rather than later, because I'm okay with some of the defensive things on this team we've seen. I mean, it's not their fault their offense turned it over five times, or in the opener against Pittsburgh, you get a punt blocked in the end zone for a touchdown. It, you know, there's great field position for Baltimore. It's not like Pittsburgh and Baltimore's drives these first 2 weeks have all been 90-yard right down your throat against the defense. The defense has performed as decently as it can, considering that, like everything else on the Cleveland Browns, is still, you know, being rebuilt. There are some small positive signs. 2 weeks in, I do feel a lot better 2 weeks in this year than I did 2 weeks in last year. Let's go to Dale, who's online too. He wants to check in on, Dave, online too. He's checking in. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, not much, guys. I'm a Detroit fan. I moved to Toledo, so I got a chance to watch the game yesterday. So you understand, I've been through it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, by the way, Cleveland, Indians. You guys are doing a fantastic job. I say that, trembling. But at the same time, dude, Kizer, I thought he did very well, man. It's just, you know, with the offensive line, it seems like the same kind of problems we were having for so long, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he just doesn't have time to throw the ball, and he showed some ability to move the ball down the field, and it was those situations, man, where it's like panic mode. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think if it's not time to bench Kizer. Just give the kid a chance. He's just starting now, man. I think you've got a good future with him. I think you guys had an injury, right, early on with a guy that you recruited, your player?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I think the Browns are on the right situation, man. I think that, you know, and I'd love, you know, as a Lions fan, dude, I'd love to see the Browns. I hear my dad constantly saying this, man, back in the 50s and the 40s, man, how we just went back-to-back. I never seen that, man.
I'd love to see
the Browns come to Detroit.
I know, you know, for anybody in Detroit and anybody in Cleveland for that matter, given the status of our football teams in the last half century, it's hard to believe there was a period of time where in a single decade they faced off in the championship game, because there was no Super Bowl back then, four times. They faced
off. Isn't that something else,
was,
man?
52 the Lions won. 53, the Lions won. 54, the Browns won. And 57,
amazing,
the Lions won. Those were all head-to-head matchups. It's,
great
it's so
classic.
Hard to believe. Yeah, that was Paul Brown, Otto Graham, and Bobby Lane, of course, quarterbacking for the Lions. To your point about the offensive line, by the way. And this is where...
Well, all I got to say, man, is you Browns fans hang in there, man. I got to say, I just can't wait to see this rivalry come back. So.
Now, and hey, one way or another, thanks for the call, Dave. One way or another, there is a matchup between the Browns and the Lions a little bit later on this season. In terms of the offensive line thing, this is why at the very end of training camp, the biggest head-scratching move the Browns made is, why the heck are you going to cut Toledo Rocket product John Greco? The guy can play every position on the line, and he's got veteran leadership. Why in the heck do you cut a guy like that? I know what you're trying to do longer term and money and blah, 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 but why in God's name would you do that? Because now you have, you know, Joe Thomas, Joel Bitonio, like it. J.C. Tretter is now, at that center position. Kevin Zietler is already getting some shot, and Sean Coleman. And in essence, Thomas and Bitonio are about the only guys on that offensive line that I like. They're about the only guys on that offensive line that I like. That's why I'm still stunned that you would get rid of a guy like John Greco, the University of Toledo product. The guy is a veteran. He can help some of these younger guys out. And, oh, my gosh, he could play every position on the line, meaning center if somebody goes down. We already saw him do that. So when you have a situation where you're trying to get a young quarterback to get his feet wet, get him learn things on the fly like this, you got to have somebody to protect him for doggone sake. So that's the biggest baffling move the Browns have made since the draft is, why the heck do you get rid of a solid lineman like John Greco, especially when the excuse was money? Let's go to Cam in Toledo before we hit our timeout for SportsCenter and everything. What's going on, Cam?
How's it going?
It's all right. What about you?
I feel like a big problem with the Browns in general is that they want success right now. You know, they want to have it happen.
I don't want them to have success right now because I know that's not possible.
Well, no. And I mean, I think a lot of it goes to looking at the fact that they've had, 27 quarterbacks since they came back?
I lost count, you know, like 2 years ago, honestly. I have to look at the jersey.
I think I saw the count was 27.
I'll take your word for it right now, Cam.
And that's the thing is, I mean, you know, let a guy settle, you know, quit crying fire sale when the guy is a rookie, for one, and two, it's the second game, you know, and he may not have done very well yesterday, but he didn't exactly play a bum defense, you know. He played a very, very tough defense in the Ravens.
Yeah,
you know?
While sitting half They've the game has. Because of a migraine, which he apparently has history of, which I didn't know as well, though I probably should have. But that flares up, so he even misses, you know, half that game. That's going to go. I can tell you, I get migraines every once in a while, too, Cam. And when I get them, I can't do squat. I can barely even open my eyes, let alone trying to play the Baltimore Ravens defense. I don't even know how he pulled through that, to be honest with you.
And on top of that, playing probably the hardest position on the field, you know.
No question.
So, I mean, even into that, you know, like you said, you know, with John Greco leaving, and I think they let a couple of other linemen just walk. You know, I think one of them went to Kansas City, one of them went to that was probably Greco that went to the Falcons.
Yeah, I think, you know, Greco, after he got cut, went to the Falcons. That sounds right.
And it's just boneheaded. It's boneheaded decision making. You know, you want to be successful, but you don't want to put in the give up. You know, for one, a coach the time, and two, give the players the time.
You know what, Cam? And fans are fans, and fans like to be optimistic about their team. They do. That's just how we are as fans. But success for the 2017 Cleveland Browns, at least according to me, Jim Cushlin, equals 5-11. That's a four-game improvement. And taken by itself, that's still a terrible record. But this team was so far at the bottom. Small steps, baby steps here. Start by getting to a 5-11. Figure out if Kizer, by starting him earlier in the season, their one decision they've done so far that I wholeheartedly agree with, and that's why I'm trying to stop people today from saying, oh, he's got migraines, and look how bad he was. You gotta bring in somebody else. No, I'm trying to stop that conversation before it even starts, because there's still a long way to go with this team. Plus, with Kizer, you want him starting as many games, now that you already made that decision, as possible this year, so you know when you're drafting fourth, fifth, or eighth next year, because it will be that again, do you need to take a quarterback again? And hopefully the answer will be no.
I could not have said it better myself, you know, and that's the problem that I have, is that they want success lickety-split, and not necessarily just fans. It seems like the front office gets pressured by the fans, too. And, I mean, I think the fresh
I can understand the front office. I mean, you know,
way too quick. I mean,
well, look at it this way.
You need to let a guy develop. You know, if you give him three games and then he does not so well, you know, he's a 20-year-old kid at the oldest? He's a young kid. You know, let him grow in the game. I mean,
exactly.
It's for anything in a job, you can't sit him on a sideline and expect him to get great, you know, just coming off the bench. You know, Peyton Manning didn't become great coming off the bench. Tom Brady didn't become great coming off the bench. He became great playing, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They don't just come straight from the bench. And,
right.
You know, and they overrate, nowadays, the players, you know, that are under these Tom Brady's, these, you know, Peyton Mannings, because they're like, oh, well, they're learning so much. But they don't have the game experience. They don't have the on the field, you know, because your defense isn't going to go 100% at you in practice. You know, your secondary, you know, maybe taking it a little easy on the receiver so that it's not to get hurt, you know?
Uh-huh.
So when you have somebody like Ndamukong Suh coming at you full force, it's different.
Right.
You know, it's J.J. Watt coming at you from the front, you know, a guy, you know, a big 6'3", 250-pound linebacker coming at you, it's different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to hurt you.
You know, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, I hope the front office isn't having the mindset that you're trying to warn against there, Cam, because I can understand if they go in doing that, because, you know, they've seen how this franchise is operated. They seem to give every front office and coaching staff 2 years, and then they pull the plug.
Yep.
Well, this would be year two. Can't do it this time. The possible change you might make, and that's still a lot of season still has to play out before you make that, is maybe, you know, a Hugh Jackson. And I only say that, like, because in this game, you want to blame somebody, blame things like the coaching staff, who still clearly do not have this team disciplined enough. See 11 more penalties, for example.
Yeah.
You know, things like that, that's on the coach and his staff. And I'm not suggesting, you know, a guy who right now with the Browns anyway, I forget what he did in his Oakland year, for a guy who's 1-17 as the Browns coach, well, many people would look at it in the abstract and say, well, it's obviously his fault, so he's got to go. No, I wouldn't even judge it solely by the record, too, at the end of this year. Because, like I said, if you're the Browns and you finish this year 5-11, you better be smiling ear to ear about it, because this team and franchise was so far behind that if you're going to change, say, a coach, I hope they don't change anybody in the front office yet. But if you're going to change something like the coach, it has to be because, well, he's still not getting these guys disciplined enough, or he's having questionable ways he's calling the plays in the game, not because of his record, because he and this team's record should for at least this one more season be, well, horrible.
Yeah, and that's my thing is, you know, even with the coaches, you know, they bring these coaches in for 2 years. They bring the players in for, like, it seems like they give them 2 years worth of a start, and then, well, why aren't we in the playoffs? Well, because look at the Steelers, look at the Ravens, look at the even the Bengals, for God's sake. They've had players in their system that they drafted well, and they let them develop in the game.
Yep.
You know, I guess, and then Ben Roethlisberger.
We've been on, like, the Bengals roster for long enough, but look at the continuity. Marvin Lewis has been head coach there for over 10 years.
Exactly.
I'm going to look up who may be the longest-tenured Bengals coach in history. 14 years. Thank you, Chris.
This is his 14th year. And Cam, I want to make a point real quick, and because I am a Bengals fan, and they're in some hot water now, mainly because they have just a mess of an offensive line. Their defense isn't that bad.
Right.
But if you're a Browns fan, what you need to look for is for them to climb that ladder. And what I mean is the ladder of the AFC North. That's what the Bengals did. They started by climbing the ladder. 1 year, they jumped above, I think it was the Browns that were better than, they jumped them. The next year, they jumped the Ravens, and the Steelers were at the top.
It took them about 2 years. They were 8-8, I remember, for like 2 years before they finally broke through.
Then they swept the AFC North 1 year, and that's the direction I see the Cleveland Browns going. I think this year, they jumped the Bengals. I think next year, they'll jump the Ravens. I think the Ravens are getting older. I think they drafted well, but not as well as the Browns have, so...
Boy, that's still a weird thing to say. I can't agree with you on that one yet, Chris, but that, I've seen way too much, but continue.
No, I'm flattering the Browns. I really do. I think they drafted well. I love the Jabril Peppers pick. I really do. I think before the end of the year, you're going to see Joe Thomas and Zeitler on the same side. I really do. I think they'll put both of those, the guard and tackles, on the same side, so they'll know what to draft next year. Okay, we got rid of Greco, we got rid of all these guys.
Yep.
Maybe they pick up a stud offensive guard or tackle, and that's how you can tell what the building blocks need to be. But they got to climb that ladder in the AFC North, and I think they will.
You know, a guy I think that they could look out for is Mason Cole out of Michigan. That'd be a great guy to pick up, you know?
He's a very physically
just demanding player, you know, to have on your line, you know?
Yeah. Right.
That's the kind of guy they need, you know? They need a physical guy to you know... I feel bad for Joe Thomas. He's been there for so long, being loyal, and, you know, been a great offensive tackle. And
still hasn't missed a snap, which is unbelievable in this game of football. Even with the safety things they're trying to do for players, this day and age or the olden days, it's still amazing how many plays he's played. Thanks for the call, Cam. Enjoyed hearing from you on this one. It's obviously still a long way to go for the Browns, but I don't want anybody to start thinking, you know, that's my main point of what I'm trying to say here. I don't want to hear about, oh, well, maybe you should change a quarterback. No. You made the decision. You got to stick with him. Rookies, migraines or not, rookies are going to have these kind of clunkers early in their rookie year and on the road. We are way late for a quick timeout. Get your check of weather, traffic, sports set, local sports center update, and all the other fun stuff. We're going to shift to some college football. Ohio State, Michigan, Toledo were winners over the weekend. Bowling Green was unfortunately not. But hey, I want to make everybody feel a little bit better right now. I got something fun for you, and we're going to give it away to you right now. Let's see who could be caller number 5 at 866-240-1065. And that caller number 5 is going to get themselves a pair of Sammy Hagar tickets. That's right. He's coming to the Toledo Zoo September 27th. That's next Wednesday, folks. Next Wednesday at the zoo, Sammy Hagar. And I got a pair of tickets to caller number 5 at 866-240-1065. Caller number 5 will be going to see Sammy Hagar at the zoo next Wednesday. Quick timeout. Check a traffic. Check a weather. Local Sports Center update. More football talk on this Monday afternoon quarterback edition of the Extravaganza. Jim Cushlin in for Bob France on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza on 106.5, The Ticket.
Back we are a couple more minutes here in this first hour on this Monday afternoon quarterback edition of the Extravaganza. Jim Cushlin, Chris Mitchell, we're hanging out with you here on this Monday. Bob sounding a little like this today. Lost his voice over the weekend. Talking is basically our old job. I can't put him on the air when he sounds like this. So he's resting up those windpipes and will hopefully be back in the big chair coming up tomorrow. Got a couple more minutes right now to take some phone calls at 866-240-1065 on your Monday afternoon quarterback. Jeremy Reisman, by the way, he's going to join us after the top of the hour at about 4:05, 4:10 or so. Lions didn't play over the weekend because they are the Monday night game tonight. And Jeremy, of course, the great writer and editor over there at PrideOfDetroit.com, Lions site on SB Nation. So we're going to get a little Monday night football preview from Jeremy at 4:05, 4:10. Lions covers, by the way, you can catch right here on the ticket. We are your Alliance affiliate here in Toledo. 6:30 the coverage time for the 8:30 kickoff. Yes, yes, they do 2 hours of pregame. I can't help that. That's just what they do. But we got all the Lions coverage for you starting at about 6:30 tonight. And then a little later, next hour, about 4:40, I like to do this every time that I'm behind the microphone and there's something about the Browns to talk about. There sure is today. So I'm going to bring in the one and only from our sister station, 94.5 XKR, the biggest... the literal and figuratively biggest Browns fan I know, the one and only Grizzly, is going to stop on by to share some of his thoughts. The way he was telling me earlier, most people give their 2 cents. He's got about 10 cents to give on this one. So I'm going to give him the floor at about 4:40 today. That's always fun. We got a couple more minutes or so to take a phone call or two at 866-240-1065. Just want to run through really quick on Saturday. Pretty much everybody won. Bowling Green fell 49-7 to Northwestern. But the rest of the teams, you know, in the area, they got some nice wins. The nicest has to be the Rockets, 54-51 at the Glass Bowl on Saturday night. An outstanding game, a comeback game. Logan Woodside, the guy who's on you name a watch list for this 2017 college football season, particularly at the quarterback position, Logan Woodside is on it. He threw... get this. Let's see. What is it? 22 of 33, 458, 6 touchdowns in a game that at one point the Rockets were down 28-7 early in the second quarter. They were still down 10-31-21, but third of the way through quarter number three, and then the Rockets and Woodside just took over. He got 4 of the 6 touchdown passes after they went down 28-14 at the break. He got his other one when they were down 28-7 right before halftime. So the Rockets get a big win. They're still undefeated at 3-0. They go down to the U on Saturday. That's going to be a fun game. In the Big Ten, of course, you had the Buckeyes, as expected, getting a win over Army, 38-7. Buckeyes jumping out 14 quick and early. The big thing there, JT Barrett, that's a little bit better. 25 of 33, 270 for 2 touchdowns. What did we talk about all last week after that Oklahoma loss? Accuracy was JT Barrett's main problem. And when you're a quarterback who's a fifth-year senior at a place like Ohio State, it means there's a flaw in your game, and that's why you're not in the NFL. For JT Barrett, it's his passing accuracy. He was a lot better. That was an encouraging sign. Buckeyes will have one more out-of-conference game against UNLV this Saturday, because remember, they started the season with Big Ten play. And then the other one of note, Michigan. Now, the score makes it feel like that Michigan was okay in this one, 29-13, they get the win over an always tough to play Air Force team. But this was a ball game. This was only 9-6, an all field goal game going into the half. And until about 3 minutes to go in quarter number three, it was still just a 3-point game before Michigan was able to pull away. It certainly wasn't from Wilton Spate. They had to do it defensively, and the Wolverines also had to do it with some of the run game and forcing. And they only forced the one turnover, but they also only scored the one touchdown. They gave up 168 on the ground. It was just, in the end, you know, a team effort to get that win. And that's part of the reason that Michigan dropped the spot in the polls. They did not beat up on Air Force as good as a lot of other people thought they would. But a win's a win. They are done without a conference play, undefeated. They open up at Purdue coming up on Saturday. We're going to have some more time to take some more of these calls, maybe between Jeremy and Grizzly next hour. We're also got some qualifying to maybe send you away on a wonderful European vacation. First day of qualifying will be for that today. Get you a little more info on that. It's about 4:20, 4:25, somewhere in that neighborhood. Be ready to call and see if you can be the qualifier for that. Don't do it right now because I'm not taking your calls if you call me right now on that. But we're going to probably be able to talk some more of these football things in between. But we got to take a quick timeout. Another check of traffic. Get you a little Sports Center update. And then Jeremy Reisman, PrideofDetroit.com, writer and editor over there at Pride of Detroit Lions site. Lions play tonight, part of Monday Night Football. They're in the Meadowlands taking on the Giants. 6:30 the coverage time right here on the ticket. We're going to talk with Jeremy Reisman coming up next here on this Monday afternoon quarterback edition of the Extravaganza. Jim Cushlin, Chris Mitchell in for Bob France here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Yeah, I thought they played great. The best way, you know, we had many, many conversations about a team like Army, a team like Air Force, that you have to be very cautious about how fast you go, because if it's fast and you punt the ball, that's, you can't do that to your defense. So you saw them take it 18 plays, 99 yards. He said our offense, the best defense against as a good offense that takes care of the ball. The best defense against the Wishbone is an offense that, first of all, scores. You get a team like Army or Wishbone team behind, that's not what they're made for. There was a couple critical stops when we were at 14-0 and 14-7, and then we made a couple stops.
I thought both teams played really good red zone defense today. We had the right calls on at the right time, pushed them back out of the opportunities to score touchdowns. They held the line as well. I thought they responded really well, for the most part, you know, with the exception of a few drives. I thought we shut them down well. I mean, I thought we won all three phases. And they play a brand of football that I really like. They make it hard. They make you go beat you. Our team was able to. Our team was able to make the plays offensively, defensively. Special teams was a huge factor in today's ball game.
We didn't play well, obviously, at the quarterback position. We can't give the ball to the other team. That's a growing experience for our guys. There were some plays there to be made. We just didn't make them. We'll grow from this. I know we will. And we'll go back to the drawing board, get it back to where it needs to be. But I don't care what level of football you play. You can't turn the ball over as many times as we did today and think you're going to be successful. There was still a time in that game. We still had a chance to rally back, and then we turned it over again. We got to grow from this, and we will. I hate it. I hate it for the guys because I think there's some individual effort and some unit efforts that are guys are doing some good things. But we got to play as a football team, a whole team.
In the second quarter there, I was experiencing some headache symptoms. Coach thought it was best for me to come back inside and get it checked out. We got him under control and said we'll go back out in the second half. Turning the ball over is unacceptable in this league. Obviously, it does not lead you to be in the best position to win games.
We'll probably be saying the same thing, you know, just because everybody has really good players. They have a whole collection of them on their defense. It's a pretty strong group. There's no doubt about it between the three corners and the safety. I mean, it's hard to think there's any team that has any more than they have. They have some talented guys. It's still not quite where we want it. You know, we did a good job, I think, when you look at it. You have to also look at how many yards they were able to gain on the ground. You know, what your output was in comparison to that is another way to look at it. We're just not satisfied yet, but we're going to continue to work at it. We got to continue to get better.
All I know is I feel good this week, feel healthy coming out of this one this past week, and ready to go for this one. I'm sure they're looking at that game too some, and kind of figuring out what we did well, what we didn't do well. Had some opportunities to score and didn't come away with points. Mistakes in every game, got to find a way to overcome them, and we'll learn from the ones in the past.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Welcome back in. Hour number two here this Monday afternoon quarterback edition of the Extravaganza here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Cushlin, Chris Mitchell, though, hanging out with you on this Monday. Bob France out today. He sounds like this, which is terrible for radio. So I'm filling in for him until his little windpipes are a little bit better. Hopefully that will be tomorrow when we reconvene tomorrow at 3 o'clock for get a little recap of this Monday night game, because everybody's done except for one. And that's, of course, the Detroit Lions, who get the Monday night game on the road against the Giants, the New York football Giants, as they used to be called. People still like to call him that. That, by the way, for those who don't know why they always insert the football, that's in reference to the ancient times in sports when there was a New York baseball Giants. You know them as the San Francisco Giants. So that's where that comes from, and that's where the Lions are tonight, playing the Giants on Monday Night Football, 8:30 the kickoff for 6:30 the coverage time. We'll have it for you, of course, as the Lions affiliate here in Toledo, right here on 106.5 The Ticket, and help us talk all things Detroit Lions as we get set for this Monday Nighter. We welcome back to the program one of the writers and editors over there at the wonderful, wonderful SB Nation website, prideofdetroit.com. That's the Lions side, of course, over at SB Nation. Jeremy Reisman joining us back on the program. What's going on, Jeremy? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you doing today?
I can't complain. I mean, well, I can't complain when I'm talking about my Browns, but I'm just hoping everybody just pumps the brakes on any, you know, put somebody else in a quarterback for Kaiser talk. I'm fine with it. Let him do his thing. You're going to have games like that as a rookie. But the Lions don't have, especially a quarterback, that type of problem. They have other problems, but those are some good problems in a twisted way to have as they get ready for this Monday night game against the Giants. And, you know, first and foremost, Jeremy, it's always fun, you know, being able to be on the Monday night game, even though this one's on the road. I believe there's another one at Ford Field coming later on here in the season. But just your thoughts on the second Monday night week of the season featuring the Detroit Lions.
I think it's a good matchup. It's a rare Monday night football game where I think it actually has a little bit of national appeal. The Lions are kind of an up-and-coming team, I think, nationally speaking, because of the season that Matthew Stafford just came off of. And, you know, he came off a very good week one performance. So I think this is going to be a close game. I think this is a game that you might actually hear people outside of the Detroit area and the New York area talking about tomorrow, because this is a great defensive matchup against two teams that should be in the NFC competition this year. These are two potential playoff teams. So I think fans should be excited about it, whether they're Lions fans or not.
And let's talk about some of that defensive things going on there, Jeremy, because that's one thing that really stood out to me, you know, for the Lions back in their week one win a week ago against the Cardinals. And that was what they were able to do at times defensively, particularly as I'm bringing up the numbers and everything, particularly for things like forcing three turnovers. You know, yeah, the Lions turned it over a few more times, but they ended up winning the football game. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong number. Four turnovers they forced did the Lions in that game against Arizona. And that's one thing we've known about this Lions team, Jeremy, for the last couple of years. You know, great passing offense especially. Running game is a little question. Usually it's a personnel thing. And defense has been, well, at least they haven't been too terrible to ruin some of the good things, you know, we would see on offense, particularly in the passing game with Matthew Stafford. But to have a defense that could force some turnovers and possibly get some pressure while they're at it, that's something relatively new. I mean, they've had, it's not that they've been horrid defensively these last couple of years, but if week one is any indication, they haven't been this good defensively.
Yeah, no, this is the first time the Lions have had a defense that looked competent since the Ndamukong Suh days back in 2014. And I would actually argue that the Lions defense was horrible ever since Ndamukong Suh left. They were one of the worst defenses in the league last year. They allowed guys like Case Keenum to throw all over them. And last week they made Carson Palmer look really, really bad. And granted, he looked really, really bad again yesterday. But it's definitely something to be optimistic about as a Lions fan. They held him and the Cardinals defense to a 53.1 passer rating. And that's something, that's the lowest they've done in at least a full year. Last year, the lowest they held was Drew Brees. They had that one good defensive game last year, in New Orleans. But yeah, I think this Lions defense, if they can repeat that, if what happened in week one was for real, and there's kind of questions to consider if it was real, considering how the Colts fared against the Cardinals yesterday. But if it is real, if it's even a little bit better than it was last year, there's reason to be really optimistic about this team, because I think the defense really held them back last year.
And based on listening to your answer, Jeremy, there, the obvious follow-up is, if it goes the other way defensively tonight, should we overreact the other way, or just say, well, you're 2 weeks in the NFL, we've seen what they can do when they look good, and we've seen what they can do when they're on a bad day. Which one would it be?
It's honestly a little bit of both. I would tend a little bit more towards Kent because this Giants offense looked really, really bad last week, and I don't think Eli Manning is anywhere near his peak at this point in his career. And obviously a lot depends on whether Odell Beckham Jr. plays tonight, and he's still a game-time decision at this point. But there's really no reason that this Giants offense should be able to move very efficiently against really any defense, let alone the Lions defense.
Yeah, and such a good point there, especially if the Giants are going to be without Odell Beckham, who we've all been talking about for about a month now, ever since their preseason game against the Browns, where he went out injured, and there was talk of, you know, should players be hitting, you know, that hard and that low in preseason games, because look what can happen to you know, a budding star like Odell Beckham Jr. But, yeah, I totally agree with that, especially in a scenario where Beckham isn't there tonight. And yeah, as you mentioned, he is a game time decision, so we won't know until sometime. When you're listening to the Lions pregame right here on 106.5 The Ticket, that begins at 6:30. It'll be sometime during that pregame that we find out if Odell Beckham is indeed going to play. But defensively, if there was one thing that they have to repeat from week one, what would that thing be?
I'd just stop the run game. The Giants basically had no run game last week against Dallas. If they can make Eli Manning one-dimensional, that's going to be great for them, because then they can start teeing off on a pretty poor Giants offensive line, maybe get a little bit more pressure than they did last week, force Eli into some mistakes that he's prone to do, and if they can do that, make the Giants one-dimensional, they can maybe have, you know, another repeat performance where they have 2, 3, maybe even 4 in turnovers again, and that would be huge for this defense, especially considering the offense might have some trouble moving the ball against pretty darn good Giants defense himself.
We're talking with Jeremy Reisman, writer, editor over at PrideOfDetroit.com, Lions site on SB Nation. You'll hear his voice frequently over the course of this season. Certainly wanted to get him on today for a little Monday Night Football preview. Let's turn to the other side of the ball. But before we get offensively, we're only going halfway. Special teams announcement over the weekend. Jim Caldwell said Dwayne Washington and Jamal Agnew may be splitting the return job. Washington wanted out of training camp, but, well, two returns in, he was benched for quote-unquote poor decision-making. What do you make of this change?
I think this is Caldwell playing games. He likes to do this. He said right out of training camp that we might see Jamal Agnew and Golden Tate return punts, and then we saw Jamal Agnew only return punts. So I think this is maybe a little bit of message sending to Dwayne Washington, saying, hey, just so you know, we're not going to take that kind of performance ever again, because he did make a pretty boneheaded decision when the ball bounced right past him in the end zone, and then he decided to take it out anyways. But I fully expect Washington to still be back there. I know that's going to make Lions fans frustrated because he hasn't shown much. Jamal Agnew really hasn't shown much as a kick returner either yet, but he does kind of have that skill set, and he was pretty good at returning punts in week one. But I think Jim Caldwell isn't the kind of guy that's going to bench a guy permanently for one mistake. So I think we're still going to see Washington back there for the time being, but I think he's on a short leash at this point.
Let's turn to some other fascinating tidbits from this Lions team as they get set for their Monday night game tonight in the Meadowlands against the Giants. 6:30 coverage time for the 8:30 kickoff. You'll hear it right here on The Ticket. Boy, in week one, we know, we've always known and have known, even in these post-Calvin Johnson years, how good this Lions passing, you know, game can be. I think we at points saw it in spades last week against the Cardinals. You got almost 304 touchdowns from Stafford. Golden Tate over 100 yards receiving and double-digit yards. But, man, continuing what he did in the preseason, when it counts in the regular season, Kenny Golladay. So now that we've seen it for a week in regular season, how for real is Kenny Golladay really?
I think it's still going to take a little bit of time for him to really develop into the complete number three wide receiver. He split some time with T.J. Jones in week one. He had a slow start to the game, too, and we talked about it last week a little bit. I was kind of impressed with his rebound more than anything, because he had a couple drops in that first half. But if you're a fantasy owner, depending on a big game from Golladay tonight, I actually like your chances, because
Janoris Jenkins is the Giants' number one cornerback. He got downgraded to questionable over the weekend. If he can't go, then Galladay's got a really, really good matchup. Even if he can't go, he's matched up against Eli Apple, who's kind of gone through some early struggles in his career. You know, he's just entering his second year. A lot of times it takes 2-3 years for a cornerback to really develop skills. I don't think Eli Apple is there yet. So if Galladay is matched up against Apple a lot this game, I think that's a really good matchup for the Lions, and I could see them having another big game tonight.
How much stronger are they knowing that now that they've seen it, even if it's preseason, regular season, we know how those atmospheres are different, Jeremy. How important is it from that Lions coaching staff point of view to know that, okay, Kenny Galladay really is, though, a guy that we can game plan with, that we can make an integral part of our passing attack to go with the Golden Tate and a Marvin Jones, who did have a touchdown but only 2 overall catches. You know, that's still 3 guys right there who are capable of a lot in terms of the receiving game. A lot of teams would love to be able to definitely say they can go 3 deep like that. The Lions sure feel like they say they can do that.
Yeah, and you're right. Seeing it in the game is a much different thing than seeing it on the practice field. It's a higher pressure situation. It's against a defense that maybe doesn't know your tendencies as much. It's huge for them. And you mentioned the 3 top wide receivers there, but the Lions also have a depth of guys either coming out of the backfield or, you know, Eric Ebron. A lot of people are predicting him to kind of have a big game today because the Giants aren't great at defending linebackers and tight ends in coverage. But Theo Riddick, he's a guy who's always going to be a part of this passing offense. And you just see Matthew Stafford with all these weapons, and you see the way he's been playing for the past year and a half. This Lions offense has really no excuse not to be a top 10 offense this year, if not maybe even top 5.
We're talking with Jeremy Reisman, PrideOfDetroit.com, a writer and editor over there. That's the Lions site on SB Nation, getting you ready for some Monday Night Football involving the Lions tonight in the Meadowlands against the Giants. 6:30 the coverage time, by the way, right here on 106.5 The Ticket. What do you make of the running game after week 1 and what they might be able to do here in week 2? Only 55 yards last week combined between Abdullah and Washington. We know that they're healthy at least. Both main guys, Abdullah and Washington, in this running game. But what can you take away from last week and how they did and extrapolate it for this one?
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for them at all. It looks a lot like it did last year, and I don't see it getting better this week. We're talking again about a really good Giants defense who are especially good up front. We're talking about guys like Jason Taylor Hall, Olivier Vernon, you know, they got Sax Harrison in the middle there, beating up a lot of space. And a guy like Landon Collins, one of the best safeties in the league, isn't afraid to come up into the box and make a lot of tackles. So if you're holding out hope that the Lions running game is going to be much improved this week, I don't think I personally see it happening. That isn't to say the Lions need to give up on the running game forever. This offensive line is still starting to gel together. It's got 3 new starters this year, so it's going to take time. Just don't bank on it happening this week. It's a really, really bad matchup for them.
On that front then, Jeremy, when would it be time to start worrying about the running game or lack thereof?
It's a good question. I think once you see this team playing a little bit more average defenses, you know, Cardinals, Giants is kind of a tall order for this offense right off the bat. Maybe a little bit more in the Falcons next week, although you could quickly fall behind in Atlanta as we saw last night with Green Bay. Then you're going to have to abandon the running game all over again. I think you need to give this team about 4 or 5 weeks, maybe even 6 weeks to see what happens. And then by that time, you know, they could even be getting Taylor Decker back at their left tackle, and that could change things all over again.
Last question before I let you go, Jeremy. Thanks so much, as always, for the time. We love talking some Lions football with you, Jeremy Reisman of PrideOfDetroit.com. He's a writer and an editor over there at the Lions SB Nation site. Definitely go check it out if you haven't already. Some great works up there right now leading up into this Monday night game. Give me some keys. What needs to happen tonight for the Lions on the road to go 2-0 and win this Monday nighter against the Giants?
I think the number one goal, as always, with this offense is just to play safe and don't turn the ball over. Last year when the Lions went to the Meadowlands, they had a really crucial fumble early in that game. Zach Zenner was in the red zone there, turned the ball over. The Lions only scored 6 points that entire game. So the Lions offense really needs to take care of their opportunities and not give anything back to the Giants. And then defensively speaking, it's just pressure Eli Manning. Make sure he gets forced into some mistakes himself. But stay disciplined. Don't give
give up any big plays, because that's really the only way I see this Giants team scoring on the Lions is big plays. And whether that comes from Odell Beckham or, you know, a big running play, it would really hurt the Lions' chance to win this game if they even give up one or two big plays, because I expect this to be a really low-scoring game.
It is the Lions and the Giants from the Meadowlands tonight for Monday Night Football to wrap up your week 2, 6:30 coverage time, 8:30 the kickoff. You'll hear every second of it right here on 106.5 The Ticket. And you've also been hearing now from Jeremy Reisman, editor, writer over on the Lions SB Nation site, prideofdetroit.com. Jeremy, we always appreciate the time of having you on the show. We'll certainly catch up down the line. And let's see if we can be 2-0 with a Monday night win tonight. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
That is Jeremy Reisman. Thanks so much for joining us, Jeremy, here on 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Cushlin, Chris Mitchell, we're hanging out with you here on this Monday edition. We're going to still talk some more football, of course, here in just a little bit. I always promise him whenever I get behind the microphone and there's something Cleveland Browns-wise to talk about, I always like to give the soapbox, if you will, to one Grizzly from our sister station, 94.5 XKR, literally and figuratively the biggest Browns fan I know. He told me he was going to come out swinging for this one, so I can't wait to hear what that means. That's going to come at you here in just a couple minutes, right after we take our quick timeout for a check of weather, check of traffic, local sports center update. But hey, before we do that, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket has a chance for you to fly to one of six, that's right, six European destinations from right out here in Toledo. Toledo Express Airport, they fly you to Charlotte, North Carolina first, and then from Charlotte to one of these six European destinations, a $2,000 value, apparently, this entire thing is. And today is day one of qualifying for that. Yes, indeed, qualifying for that starts right now. Be caller number 5. If you want your name to go into the hat for a chance at a European vacation, be caller number 5 at 866-240-1065. You will be qualified for a chance to go to one of six European destinations from Toledo Express Airport via Charlotte, North Carolina. $2,000 value on this whole thing. So it's an awesome little prize. Caller number 5 right now, 866-240-1065. You will be our first qualifier. And this wonderful prize event, if you will, is brought to you in part by Toledo Express Airport, Toledo Port Authority, American Airlines, and of course, we here on Toledo Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. So caller number 5 for a chance to get qualified to go on a European destination trip. More football, the one and only Grizzly from 94.5 XKR. He's going to join us next here on a Monday afternoon quarterback edition of the Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Hey, back we are. One more fun segment here to go here on this edition of the Extravaganza, Monday afternoon quarterback edition of the Extravaganza here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Cushlin in for Bob France. He sounded a little like this today. That's just bad for radio. So I'm filling in for him today. He'll be back coming up here in the big chair tomorrow. We'll have lots of fun stuff to talk about, namely, among other things, a Lions Monday night game against the Giants tonight in the Meadowlands. That's a 6:30 coverage time, 8:30 the kickoff time. You'll hear every second of it right here on 106.5 The Ticket. But hey, I mentioned this earlier today. I always love to do this whenever I'm behind the microphone. There sure as heck is a few Browns things to talk about. So whenever that opportunity presents itself, I like to bring this guy in to give his couple of cents. He said it might be upwards of a dollar today, not just 2 cents, on the Cleveland Browns, who, as we know, fell 24-10 in Baltimore yesterday. Some migraines, some turnovers, some bad penalties. So to help break it all down and see what's on his mind regarding his and our beloved Cleveland Browns, I present to everybody the one and only from our sister station, 94.5 XKR, the one and only Grizzly. How you doing today?
Not too good, Jim. Not too good at all. I'm really still hurting over our loss yesterday. You know, when you play the Pittsburgh Steelers a week before yesterday, listen, you got a migraine headache, don't take the field. Put Danny Shelton in at quarterback. Don't take the field with a migraine. Now, again, that's Deshaun's youth coming in. You know, that's a rookie thing, okay? And he
I'm
had
just
to
glad,
go out.
Honestly, Grizz, it's not concussed. When he first left, I'm thinking, oh, good. Which Raven was it that smacked him upside the head
to
give him a concussion? Oh, great. And it turns out, no, he was just dealing with a very bad migraine. That's also why he came back into the game a little bit later. I kind of agree with that, though, in a way. If you don't feel that right, you know, I get migraines every now and again, too, Grizz. And when I get them, I can barely open my eyes, let alone function at anything.
Yeah.
He has one, and he's trying to go out and play the Baltimore Ravens defense. That's like a suicide right there.
I used to get those Morton cluster headaches before I had all my teeth pulled in the top, and that debilitated me. I couldn't do nothing. And, you know, I hope he learned from that. I hope he gets help for those migraines. Now, he didn't do too bad, 15 of 31 for 182 with three picks. He threw it to the wrong people. You know, there was missed routes on the wide receiver fault, or wide receivers. It wasn't just DeShone Kizer's fault. Or Hogan's fault, who had a pick and he had a touchdown. But, you know, the whole cast. And I think one of the things, they went in there, they made the stupid mistakes, they have the stupid penalties. Joe Thomas needs to be traded right now. He's a penalty king. He's a bad influence on those young linemen.
Hey, man, trade him while he's high. Everyone's loving talking about how he's literally over 10,000 consecutive snaps. That's called value.
Value, but look how many penalties are in that.
No question. We've been in a little disagreement on the Joe Thomas thing, you and I, over the last, I'd say, year or so whenever he comes up.
Yep.
But, yes, that I wholeheartedly agree with you. As he's aged, he does seem to be picking up more dumber penalties as time goes on.
He's not all that at all. And then, worst of all, and this shows a young team, and a guy like Joe Thomas, who's a veteran, that's when the veterans that they have, I mean, they average 24 years old a player, overconfident. They went in there, they actually, I think, thought the Baltimore Buzzards were going to lay down for him. You know, and Joe Flacco, who's a piece of garbage, had a career day, and they made the Buzzards look like a Super Bowl team. You know, the linebackers, I thought, played quite well. They're covering receivers downfield.
Right.
Where's the secondary? Where's the secondary? No, nobody's even around.
We traded the best player on the secondary 3 weeks ago, Joe Hayden.
The secondary looked like they were totally lost out there.
And this is, you know, and I kind of met you. I'm glad you mentioned this, Grizz, with the secondary, because I was mentioning in the first hour regarding the offensive line and some of the penalties / some of the protection issues. Well, of course that's going to happen when you, for no reason other than trying to save a few bucks, trade away a capable veteran who could play every position.
And be a leader.
I'm, of course, on the offensive line, referring to University of Toledo product, John Greco, who played everywhere. You could apply the exact same thing to the secondary with Joe Hayden not there anymore. Yeah. And these were both simple cost-cutting trades. Yeah, they got a small draft pick or whatever, but whoop-de-darn-do. You needed those kind of players on this team to help these kids who are going to have these types of growing pains, like we saw yesterday. You need those types of players out there to help mitigate that a little. That flat out, when they needed those kind of things, just flat out wasn't there when they needed it because they traded those types of guys away.
Yeah, they took the boys club out there to play up against a high school football team. I mean, it was just, you know, Crowell, no blocking, but he got 37 yards. He had the longest run of 17. Mm-hmm. Johnson, who tried to be Mr. Everything out there. Duke tried. Duke was out there doing his best.
They did have three catches for 59 yards top of four for 21 on the ground.
And, you know, you don't want DeShone Kizer running the ball five times for 26 yards. You don't want him doing that and running 13 yards for the longest. You want to know something? I thought, oh, my God, if he don't slide, his season's over.
Could be.
Did you see that? The linebacker was coming. I think it was Suggs coming right at him. That would be like me going at my grandson, for God's sake.
It's hits like that that made me think when he left it. Does he have a concussion? You know, when he left the way he did. Because when you run at this level as opposed to college, you're going to take some of those hits. And you can't be, you know, taking those kind of hits at the NFL level. Because when you do, then you're going to be missing games. And, you know, I've been trying to talk to some Browns fans today because I'm already starting to hear, he's got these migraines and he was horrible. Maybe we should put somebody else in quarterback. And I'm trying to have everybody pump the brakes on that one.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right definitely now. Stop.
Yes, I still wholeheartedly agree with the decision to plug him in there. We've seen them take the other route, you and I, Grizz, plenty of times. Clearly that hasn't worked, and I'd rather have a guy like Kizer, migraines and all, take these lumps because, you know, on the other side of it, throw out the migraines for a second.
Well,
three picks, 182, just over 50% complete, just under, I should say, 15 to 31. He's a rookie, making his first regular season road start. Those things happen.
Especially against a team like the Steelers and the Buzzards. You know, they're respectable, but they're not all that. But, you know, they, you know, Suggs, you got a lot of veterans. They average like 32 years old a player. They got a lot of experience. And, you know, and I and the Cleveland Browns fans are, oh, here we go again. You know, stop it. Either you're a fan or not.
Yes.
And if you're thinking about going to, you know, take your Brown stuff, burn it, and get the hell out of here.
Yes.
And go on somebody else's bus.
There you go.
You know, I'm gonna support Deshaun Kizer, Kevin Hogan, whoever's back there under the center, and I'm gonna support the whole team. Joe Thomas, I'm gonna try to get a letter to him or something to tell him to stop it.
You know, because what's interesting about what you said there, you know, some fans, because I felt that since the end of this game yesterday, that some Browns fans are back to jumping off the cliff because somehow the inconceivable 7-9 or 8-8 or 9-7 that I thought was going to happen this season, oh, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Guys, if you've listened to me at least, not only are we 2 games in, but if you've listened to me on this show, I've been the one telling you if this team goes 5-11, considering where it started with the lack of talent, the 1-15, all that, you better be smiling ear to ear. That's still a 4-game improvement, which is a big-time improvement in the National Football League. You make that same improvement next year, then we'll have these fun playoff conversations. You've got to remember how far back this team, really after last season, really
we're
was.
We're back to the beginning.
The lumps are going to have to happen. Yep. This is why I'm so in favor of throwing out Kizer. You know, at least have him go against the on-paper 100% depth charts that you get in September as opposed to the 70% because everybody's hurt by December. That's why I'm fine throwing out a Kizer, you know, like this right now. It's also why, conversely, I wish they would have kept the Haydens and the Greccos because a game like that where you're turning the ball over, and I believe at least two of those four total, three of them Kizer, one Hogan, at least two of those interceptions were during what could have been decent Brown scoring drives. That's when you need the veterans to keep those kids' confidence up so they don't just go out there and lay down for lack of confidence after that. And I saw some of that at the very end of this game.
Yes, and
that's on coaching. That's the other thing. If you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at coaching. The penalties, the bad routes on running that you mentioned.
Where did they come from?
That's a coaching and discipline during practice. So you want to blame somebody, Browns fans out there who are trying to jump off cliffs today. And I'm not suggesting fire Hugh Jackson. You know, that's another thing this team doesn't need is the constant turnover and coaching in front office. Everybody better stay through at least this season.
I think Jackson's still our guy. I really do. But some of his offensive coaches need to be reevaluated. They need to be sat down and told. And again, okay, you don't have Greckle. You don't have Hayden. Yesterday, they had sparks of looking great. And that's where you need a Greckle to come on, let's go, you know, and a Hayden. And they weren't there. That's when you got to get your coach has got to get in there.
You play. These mistakes that we're seeing in a game like yesterday, that's coaching and discipline. And again, I'm not here suggesting fire Hugh Jackson. Far from it. But if you want to blame somebody, Browns fans, for yesterday, that's a coaching staff and discipline thing we saw from yesterday. A couple more things I want to throw at you, Grizz. We got Grizzly joining us talking some Browns as we like to do.
We get
these opportunities for our sister station 94.5 XKR. Corey Coleman. So he's going to have surgery. We learned this at the top of the show for that broken hand, which incidentally is the exact same broken hand that kept about
six games.
Did I just make your day worse? I did, didn't I? Yes, there's still no official timetable for how long he's going to be out, but he's going to have surgery on the same broken hand. You don't want to say a guy is a bust because of injuries, because this might be now as many as 12 total games now due to miss because of injuries. I have to assume he's going to miss 4 or 5. He's going to have surgery. What do you make of this? What do you do with this kid at all when he comes back healed, which if he does, we're probably looking at November.
I think you take a long, hard look with the medical staff, and the medical staff can say, what's his future? How fragile is he going to be? What's his limitations going to be? You know, what's he going to be able to endure? And, you know, I hate to be heartless. You know, if he can't go, if I as a doctor tell you, Jim, he ain't going to go, he'll get 80% at best, then you have to do what you got to do. Maybe a team out there can grab him that can have that. We can't afford to take 80%. We need 130%.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get it out of him.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're not going to get it out of him.
Well, here's a guy given seemingly at least 100%, maybe close to that 130% you're talking about, because there are we try to look at some positives. Here's a positive for you, especially now in light of this Corey Coleman news. How about second-year receiver Rashad Higgins out of Colorado State? I'm liking the effort, and more or less is saying, I'm playing this way because I have to keep my job, more or less. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what I said. He had 95 yards and 7 catches, 11 targets. There's something, because now if you're going to be without Coleman again, this is a light receiving staff as it is. I mean, Kenny Britt, the big free agent, signing all of one catch for 2 yards. So
yeah.
If you want to talk about something positive, there's at least a positive Rashad Higgins.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's scrappy. And I thank God we have him, because without him and Coleman out, we'd be in huge trouble. Then we're looking at possibly a 2-14 season.
Yeah, no kidding. Ooh, these are a couple of other things that have been breaking since the hour, because, you know, it's Monday, so you got to get some of these things. One, Myles Garrett's ankle's improving. He has not been fully by the team ruled. I remember they originally said he's probably missed the first 4 games. As of an hour and a half ago, he's improving, and he's not fully ruled out for this Sunday's game. I don't expect him to play, honestly, this coming Sunday, Grizz. And I hope they don't. I want this guy fully 100% healthy, ready to go.
And they need to be able to play without him anyway. The defenses can't say, you know, maybe that's the guy that'll rally him. But, you know, if he's not in there, you better step up. And if you're not, then you're gone. Goodbye.
But I got to take this as good news. They were originally telling us about 4 games he was going to miss. It's starting to shape up like it might only be 2-4. And it depends if they want to bring him back this week or next week. Browns people, I am recommending wait until at least next week. I want this guy fully healthy and ready to sack some quarterbacks when he gets back.
Courtney Brown. He got hurt. He was never healthy the whole season. They tried to use him and put him out there.
I remember
that. He got beat up, and he was never healthy all season.
Yep.
But he gave him his best, and what did he get for it? Tossed
and a borderline Pro Bowler, I believe, with the Raiders
absolutely.
After that.
Yep.
Now, regardless of who the Browns have, this just coming out 15 minutes ago, we kind of knew this, but now it is official, at least for this coming Sunday when they play the Colts, no Andrew Luck. He is officially, as of right now, been 15 minutes ago, he's officially been ruled out for his third straight game to start the season.
Well,
so that's a positive. If you're going against the Colts, at least there's no Andrew Luck under center for them.
Well, I'll tell you, I look for the Browns to really, Hugh Jackson's that kind of coach where we're going to see a different Browns team, I think. We're not going to see that fiasco yesterday the rest of the season. If you're going to lose, you go out there with dignity. Don't go out there and look like the Keystone Cops, not knowing what you're doing. And you got guys out there, you know, arguing with each other. Well, that was your guy. No, that was your guy. And why the guy's running, you know, into the end zone for a touchdown. You got your defensive players arguing.
There's that. That's the discipline we were talking about right there.
Yes, the discipline. That was, I would say, Jimmy, being a former ball player myself, discipline was probably 70% of that game.
Oh, and football, it is, because you have to work as the unit. Even I know I wasn't that great of a player, but I still played through high school as well.
And
so
baseball, hockey, any sport, actually, you know.
Sure, but the dance you have to do on a football field with your other 10 teammates on each and every play, that's why it's so very crucial, and why I keep trying to tell people today, don't be mad at Kaiser. I don't want to hear any stupid comments about changing quarterbacks.
Not at all. He tried. He made a valiant effort on his part to go in there with a migraine headache and try to lead
exactly.
his team.
Exactly, because the problems with yesterday's game specifically, the majority of them come back to discipline or being undisciplined in this case, and that's a coaching, that's a work during the week through practice kind of thing to stop making those, like, it's just the dumb things, like the 11 penalties. Even the Patriots are going to have a hard time winning games when they're going out and committing 10, 11 yep. penalties. That's just how football works.
They add up. I mean, what was it last week? The Patriots got an 85-yard penalty after
Bingo.
The play. Boom, right.
right
there. That'll take you out every time.
Sure.
And as far as this dancing and celebration for after each play goes, back when I played, you know what? If you did that kind of stuff, after you made it one tackle, the only tackle of the whole game, and you're out there flexing and doing all this, they would come out and pull you off the field in a straitjacket and take you right over here on South Detroit Avenue and put you in the electric shock room. I mean, seriously,
no,
that they got
right.
that's ridiculous.
I like how the NFL has loosened for like the touchdown celebration.
Oh yeah, that's
but
cool.
I've always been annoyed, even me, and I'm younger than you. Even I've always been annoyed by the. Really, guys, you have to do a dance after every play?
Yeah.
Save your dance for when you score or when you get that big sack on
Absolutely.
Third down.
Absolutely. Then you go
play.
Out there and you go
that.
Nuts.
I'm with you on that.
Right.
I always hated
right.
that on every play. Grizz, I always love having you on to talk some
well,
Browns.
Thanks for having
it's
me.
It's always darn entertaining.
Anytime, Jim. Next week, let's do it. Let's do it next week when the Browns defeat the Indianapolis Colts and get their season turned around.
I hope
we're
that's
going
the
for
kiss.
That five or six, maybe a few more. But right now, like you
I
said,
still, even after what I've seen,
we're
on
going
2 weeks,
for
I
that five or six
five.
Wins. We can get it.
I still
it's
got
doable.
Him at five, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only Grizzly from our sister station 94.5 XKR. That's going to do it for today here on the Extravaganza Monday Night Football with the Lions. 6:30 coverage time here on the Ticket. Drive Time though with Mike Miller is next. Stick around for that. We'll see you tomorrow. See